Hey everybody, welcome to episode 82, season 2 of Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today I'm going to be spitballing some final thoughts from the Red Wings prospect tournament, how they performed, who I'd like to see. I mean, really get a legitimate look in the Red Wings main roster there. And, you know, a couple things that I think we need to reason, you know, take a step back and put a more reasonable mindset and thought process behind how we're critiquing some of the things that actually went down at the prospect tournament. And we'll take a look at what's going on with the training camp, what the schedule looks like in the preseason schedule. And of course, when you guys can find the red and white game, we want to give you guys all those details. And I want to take a peek, too, at how Simon Edvinson, Elmer Soderblom, and Theodore Niederbach have been playing it up over in the SHL for Frölunda. And it's not going to disappoint. It's looking pretty good. So we'll take a look at that, and we'll have some fun. So, yeah, let's jump right in. So that Red Wings prospect tournament, first thought has to be good gravy, Jared McIsaac. I mean, this is a feller we all had penciled in after two shoulder surgeries as, you know, the guy we wanted to keep an eye on. I mean, this was somebody that you crossed your fingers. You really wanted to have you really wanted to see him have a good tournament. You wanted to see him have a good preseason. Honestly, I couldn't wait to see what he could do in the AHL. And it was just something where, you wanted good feelings for the kid. And you know, for anybody that doesn't know, if you're listening to the podcast right now, you're checking out, the YouTube and you're kind of wondering where I'm going with this. It is the absolute brutal hit that knocked him out and forced him off the ice, with a stretcher. And, you know, it's just good gravy. It breaks your heart, really. Like there's injuries that are shocking. They really take your breath away, and they're never fun to watch. And I believe this was Devin on Twitter, and I think he writes for the Hockey Writers. I want to give him credit for this, but he said, you know, that there's never anybody you want to be either replaced in this situation or to be in this situation. But for a guy who deserves to not be in this situation, really, that's not verbatim, but I mean, that was probably the best way to put it, is Jared McIsaac. This is a guy that did not need this to happen. This is a guy that, I mean, we've seen blips of some really good hockey. And unfortunately, they're blips because of the injuries. And even in this game, this happens, I believe, right after he got mixed in to the Chase Pearson goal, and to just have to stop everything. And I don't just mean the game, but for him and where he's at in his career, to have to stop everything again is something that you know, there's going to have to be some long looks in the mirror, I would guess, for him personally. And you know, we got the word from Scott Wheeler that he was responsive. Scott Wheeler from The Athletic was in the stands, said he was right underneath me. Got a good look at Jared. He was responsive, he was blinking. So those are all good signs, but this is not something after two long shoulder surgeries that Jared needed to put on his resume. And that's really just for lack of a better term to put it that way. But, you know, I want to sum this up by, this is absolutely heartbreaking. My heart goes out to him, whatever's left of it, after seeing that hit and hearing that it was Jared. It's rough. I wanted to talk about this prospect tournament, and you know, it starts with Lucas Raymond not even being in the third game. And I think, honestly, after watching that second game with St. Louis, they wanted to teach Lucas Raymond a lesson, and he came to play, And good on him that, I mean, this is a kid who, you know, at the end of that second period was almost playing an entire power play after getting beat up for an entire period. This is a kid who got beat up for the entire period of the second, most of the first, comes away with two goals. There's a lot to take away from that, but that's why I'm thinking Lucas is out for game three. And I don't know, you know, we haven't really gotten any details about Berggren. But and Berggren was out in game two with an injury. He goes down hard, taken off the ice, never comes back to the game. I would put it out there that anybody that got hurt from the chippiness absolutely should just be kept out. There's no point in continuing. You know, somebody, I don't want to say any guy is more important than the next, but once they do start to feel it, I think that's when you got to take them out. And with Lucas Raymond, like I just said, here I am being a hypocrite talking out of both sides of my mouth, that any one guy, there is no one guy that's more important than the next. But I mean, would you be so shocked after game two if it came down, you know, from the top of the organization? No, keep Lucas out of this. We'll get to see him in the preseason. You know, we'll get to see him at training camp. He does not need to put his body on the line for this tournament. And, you know, there's two schools of thought there, right? Like, if I was GM, if I was coach, shouldn't he be able to put up with that? Absolutely. But you're also talking about, you know, I mean, this is, for lack of a better term or word, this is an asset for this organization. And you don't want to see Lucas Raymond miss out on an opportunity to learn with the team, grow with the team, get through a preseason schedule with the team. And, you know, I think we've seen these flashes from Lucas, not even flashes. Goddamn, that second game, Lucas Raymond, despite being absolutely hounded the entire game, was finding space just in his own ability to dangle the puck and move around defensemen and move around his opponents and still getting off great shots. It really was a testament, I think, to every reason that Lucas Raymond gets drafted in the top 10. It was wonderful to watch, but I wanted to see more of it. And you know, like the chippiness we said that we saw in game two led to quite a few injuries in game number three. I think just the chippiness of the tournament. And it's lucky for the Red Wings. And I think what we saw was the most hockey centric game was game one, that the Red Wings walk away with a victory. There's something to take away from that, but not the point I'm trying to make here. But I think What I want to land on here is I'm glad they took out Lucas, but what the fuck is going on with this tournament? This turned into an absolute shit show, in my opinion, and is something that I think needs to be talked about with the coaches, the players going into it next year, and the officiating probably needs to be maybe more strict. And this is just something where these guys, I mean, it's called a tournament, but these are exhibition games for all intents and purposes. And it's a prospect tournament, right? I mean, it's not like we're calling this the let's see if you can play tournament. This isn't a reality show to see who can make it out. You know, the guy left standing makes it to the organization. No, these are all prospects that have been highly touted at one point or another, or have shown enough promise that the Red Wings want to see them challenged. And I don't think any one of these teams, despite, you know, St. Louis, Columbus coming in hard, I don't think they want to see their caliber Lucas Raymond get hurt. I don't think that is what their hope for was. And clearly, I think they had enough guys on their teams that they didn't have to worry about maybe not worry about that happening to their guys, but they had enough guys that were going to be able to lay the heat down on our top players. And it wasn't enough to stop Lucas Raymond. And, you know, we can get into that in a second, but it certainly was enough, I would say, and in my opinion, why he was out for game three, why you don't even want to think about Berggren going back in. It's because of how chippy this tournament was. And hey, you know, maybe I'm a pansy. I don't I don't like the idea that those guys go out there to get hurt. I'm an agility, speed, maneuvering the puck fan of hockey. I want to see the tic-tac-toe passes. And of course, there has to be the play on the boards. There has to be physical play. But with some of the shit we saw, that was just outright, you know, dirty and looked like some guys were trying to lay other prospects out just to either, you know, that was going to be the best way for them to make a name for themselves. Or, you know, with Lucas, I wouldn't be surprised if it's, well, this is former, you know, number four pick in the first round. Let's introduce him to the NHL. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Let's introduce him to the prospect tournament. I wouldn't be surprised by that. So that idea of it is where I start to push away from the, I don't know, it's not even grittiness. It really is just this childish aspect to any sport of, you know, instead of it, you know, that doesn't make it a man's game. That is a child's mentality of, you know, that idea of, you know, let's introduce Lucas to the NHL. Now, do I know that's what's going down? But it's in that world, right? Like, it's in that vein. I call this Red Wings rant. This is my rant, right? Grow the fuck up. If you're good enough, you know, maybe you don't need to resort to that. Is the sport, and if your job really is to injure a guy, what the fuck are we doing? I mean, come on. Is that really, we're going to label guy? Like, and that's my point, right? There can be guys that can hit. If you're a guy that's out there to injure someone, what the fuck are we doing? Yeah, I'm, and you know, don't take that as a broad stroke. You know, this is something where, you know, you really want to laser in on those folks. If you lay the body on someone, that doesn't mean you're a dirty player. But, you know, that's what we're getting down to, is me watching this prospect tournament. I was getting angry watching it, going, what are we doing? And you have to have Lucas Raymond arguing tripping calls in game two of the prospect tournament. He's not Wayne Gretzky. I know they're not going to look after him and make sure he's A-okay, but I mean, let's be a little bit more strict, right? Let's keep these kids safe. Let's have this be a tournament where they can kind of get to know each other's teammates. You know, they're getting extra time, right, to prepare for the upcoming season. And this is extra time for these teams to see their prospects. I don't think that we need to see swinging at the back of somebody's leg and checks to the back of heads. I mean, you know, I didn't want to bring up the Jared McIsaac thing, but that thing does look dirty as fuck. So that's the kind of shit I don't need in this prospect tournament. And if there is something that needs to be said, because I know this isn't necessarily, it's not something where, you know, you see a dirty hit in the playoffs and then the NHL takes a look at it. I mean, this is something with the teams that participate in this. They look at each other eye to eye and go, is this really what we wanted this tournament to be? I don't know. All right. There's Matt and his Red Wings rant. It pisses me off. I, you know, and if you want to chirp back or spit back, especially if you're a Columbus Blue Jackets fan, go right ahead. But you know, I think as a culture for the NHL, I think we should be getting away from that chippiness, because it is bad hockey. It's not good hockey by any means. And you saw Lucas Raymond dance around it. The reason I'm thinking he misses game three is he doesn't need to be in this shit. Look at that bullshit out there. And I love it. I love that decision. Keep Lucas away from this. It obviously got way too, you know, I like saying childish, because I feel like if one of the prospects sees this, then they could go, you know, first they'll give me the finger, but then they maybe, you know, a little introspective thought and kind of figure out, should I be in the NHL if all I do is throw around shitty hits? Anyway, all right. Let's talk about something else. All right, guys. Well, I promised we'd take a look at the training camp and preseason schedule moving forward. For training camp, everything just kind of jumps right in. Ked Cal made mention right after, or right at the end of this prospect game, Now, the tournament is over for the Red Wings, but they do still have another practice scheduled. And the question that Kent Kell had at the end of the broadcast on YouTube for the Detroit Red Wings was, will they even have it, considering how banged up and tired everybody looked at the end of the tournament there? My guess is it probably is still going to go on. But Ken just also rolled in there and said training camp just continues right after that. So we've got, I don't know, we'll just put the quote, you know, training camp, even though prospect tournament, all the preseason, you know, post preseason games is where we kind of step away from the idea of training camp. Finally step away. But yeah, training camp gets rolling right away this upcoming week. And unfortunately, besides the red and white game that comes up this Sunday, which I don't actually have on the graphic here, so that'll be the 26th. 26th of September. Besides that, they don't really have a scheduled practice or any practice exhibition games that they'll be doing on DetroitRedWings.com yet, according to Ken Kell at the end of that game. So they may have it up by now. But as of this recording, nothing up yet. But they did ask, you know, you guys keep an eye on social media. They're going to post things throughout the week when there are practices scheduled, when the, you know, they'll do the Daniela and Ken Kell going live and watching practice. We saw some of that last year, so we should get some of that again this year. And like I mentioned, the most important thing I think coming out of training camp is going to be that red and white game on Sunday. There's going to be a lot of guys that were in this prospect tournament that you want to see getting a good shot. And let me pull this away for a second. We'll jump back in. You know, you look at this prospect tournament, I feel like the most important names walking out of it, and you guys go right ahead and correct me if you want in the comments. I will certainly, you know, you guys know me. If you comment, I'm there. I'll have that conversation later. It's like our own miniature Reddit. But I'm looking at number one. You hopefully Bergeron is healthy. Like I mentioned earlier, we still don't know anything that was going on. That first game in a period we got out of Bergeron, you know, I did get some pushback on him defensively, but what I saw was a guy who was playing the boards. I saw a guy that, like I mentioned, it was something. If he was making that transition from the SHL to the NHL and the size of the game, that if we found him in spots that weren't necessarily making sense, but what I saw was a guy making it to spots that made sense. This is a guy that looked already comfortable with the size, and he was using his game that was successful in the SHL to create offense here in the NHL. So, you know, what do I get out from that? At the time, I was really high on it. I was on the Bergeron hype train, and I said, give him a roster spot. But honestly, what that means is you absolutely need to give this guy as for sure a real test as you can. He needs to be in a prominent position in these preseason games. And when they split up the teams with a couple of different cores, going for home and away games, or, you know, team A and team B, you want to see Bergeron in a prominent spot where he is expected to score and he's got some power play opportunities, because that, I mean, that's, if he's going to be a successful piece, eventually you'd want to see him finding that success in those positions. And even if that means third scoring line eventually for a, you know, a playoff contending team, that's fine, but absolutely some power play time. And you know, I think what we saw from you know, I saw a successful defensive performance was him on those boards winning the puck battles. But even on the offensive side, he was doing that too. And I thought he was physical for his size, and you know, especially creating for that Joe Valeno goal. A lot of credit to Valeno getting the shot over the shoulder. But I mean, Bergeron's the one who earned that puck battle and scrummed it up and did it. And I think that even is something, if I had to say, what am I expecting out of Bergeron? I'm expecting some great pass plays. Like he went stick to stick with Lucas Raymond at the start of the second period in that first game. And I'm not necessarily pegging him for a win the battle on the boards kind of guy. And lo and behold, we got it anyway. So I'm going to say he's tied for the top on the list only because obviously Lucas Raymond, Lucas showed so much promise. Like I said, one of the biggest issues the Red Wings had was, over the last few years. I shouldn't just say the Red Wings had, as if it was just last season. But especially with the power play, it's getting it in, getting the puck in the zone. So they could create chances, but there just wasn't any, I mean, the success rate of moving the puck from the neutral zone to the offensive zone was, it was horrendous, especially during that streak of, you know, no power play goals. I'll just leave it at that. And I mentioned how hard Lucas was getting dogged these last couple of games. And, you know, he's still able to put up three goals, and he looked good doing it. I'm happy that Chase Pearson scored a goal in that third game. You know, we get destroyed. I'm happy to see Chase put one in because he's been playing really hard the whole tournament. But, you know, and what I mean by, you know, earning three goals, I'm talking about that goal that Chase Pearson had where he just kind of tips it in there. The Cross Hannes goal as well. They're tip goals. They're great positionally. Don't get me wrong. But Lucas Raymond was scoring goal scorers' goals. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with the way Pearson and Hannes scored in the third game. I hope you guys get what I'm coming at. But this is something where, you know, you're looking at just the pure skill of the shot and the player getting that in. Where Pearson, again, don't take anything away from Pearson and Hannes, but you know, those are coaching, those are strategy, those are positional, and you have to be smart to do that. But do I have to keep explaining it? Everybody knows what I'm saying. It's fucking Lucas Raymond. All right, moving on. Absolutely, Lucas Raymond needs that exact same shot, and if he's able to bring what he looked like in the prospect tournament because of how hard he was dogged in those games. And I it's one of those things where it's surely the defense will take a massive step up, but are they going to be dogging Raymond as hard? You know, I just don't believe it. And I think there's going to be more respect shown to the rest of the players that Raymond will potentially be on the ice with. So point being, I think he has some potential to look pretty good in the preseason. And, you know, I'm playing more of a philosophical game here than, you know, the philosophy that a coach is going to apply from these two different standpoints of a prospect tournament where you have a bunch of players that are like, I need to do something now to earn my spot. And the preseason isn't too far away from that, but you are getting more solid looks at who has the better chance at making it into the lineup rather than a guy going, I'm on the third and fourth line here. I've got to do something miraculous to earn a spot. Ultimately, I think that might be where a lot of the dog down defense that Raymond was getting is coming from. That's not what I want to talk about. Sum it up: Bergeron, Raymond, absolutely on the top of that list. Joe Valeno, top of the list as well. If there's an opportunity and Bergeron can make it to some preseason games, that is a line 110%, especially with these guys already building a rapport. I think that is huge. You guys want to talk about hockey IQ being at the top of everyone's list? If these guys are just, I'm going to say it, if these guys are giggling and, you know, pinching each other and having fun, doing their little Uber story that everybody's heard 100 times already of Joe Valeno being the Uber driver for Bergeron and Lucas Raymond. If these guys are having that much fun, you know, absolutely, you know, put Bergeron and Raymond together, but have Valeno in the middle there. That's not only an opportunity for those three to show off, but that, you know, that's an opportunity to actually take advantage of a healthy hockey relationship between teammates, friends, however you want to put that. I think that that's a good opportunity, not only for the three of them is what I'm saying. Great opportunity for the Red Wings to you know, ultimately help three guys build, get better. Now, I couldn't get through a list like this without mentioning Kirill. Tutayev, we got King Tut, I think, on Twitter. Or King Tut. I don't know. That one seems, it seems a little, I don't know, not appropriate. Anyway, it's Kirill Tutayev. I think he feels like right now how excited I was for Matthias Brome last year. And obviously that didn't turn out great, but that's only because the production didn't match the effort. And we saw production that first game. I think Tutayev, I mean, he sniffs the net. He owns that net for his size. We found out he's actually 30 pounds heavier than what they were reporting in game one. But this is a guy who, it's like he's a magnet and he's got the exact right magnet pulling him into the net. And this is something I do hate Art Regner, but I'll give him credit on this. You don't often see the mix of grittiness and high skill. And high skill doesn't necessarily always mean you are Pavel Datsyuk level at all times. But we are talking about a guy who can dangle, move the puck, and he looked pretty good creating some scoring chances and, of course, finishing on those scoring chances. So that's where you get that mix of that high skill, and the grittiness comes in where this guy just, I feel like, damn, if it's not about getting a goal, I feel like Kirill just isn't going to be happy with his game unless he's got like a black eye from trying to score a goal. And that's huge for that type of skill. So yeah, again, this is, and going back to like, if we can remember, you know, Brome's shot, we loved him in the red and white game. I loved him watching him in practice last year. He really did have the skill coming in. It looked great. I think you just need to keep testing this type of player out to find the one that does have the finish, and that's fine. I think the comparison right now for excitement level I had last year and where Tutayev is right now or what he looked like, that's completely fine. That's kosher. Light it up. If I'm excited, I'm going to say I'm excited. I'm not comparing necessarily the skill. I am comparing the skill it looked like Brome had with Tutayev, and he's still highly skilled. It's just one of those things. Again, the production didn't match, and you got to find the guy that can finish. So that's where I am with that. Really rambling here, and I think Chase Pearson, who I already mentioned, is the last guy on the list that just looked consistently good. And what did they say? He's got more lettuce in the bowl. God damn, is that guy gonna look cool skating around the ice in a Wings jersey? But hey, you know, we already pegged him. Him and Valeno, we already pegged for a roster spot, and I think Valeno pretty much got, you know, the thumbs up last year. Chase, I put as a roster spot, not a full-time roster spot, but this is a guy who I think they can count on if there is an injury. And Chase has been playing the game, right? He's been doing what needed to be done in the AHL. And I think I had mentioned in the last episode somewhere in the comments that they saw Chase, you know, not to get too hyped, I saw Chase as a career AHLer. And it's not about the hype. I think it's about a kid who goes out there and does what he's asked and can certainly fill a fourth line role. I think, you know, you look at like a Mitchell Stevens, and we're excited to see where that goes. And, you know, could this be one of the bigger steals that are like an underrated steal from Steve Yzerman? And you're trying to fill out, you know, the bottom six forwards. I think there's still an opportunity for Chase, not necessarily to steal anything away, but it's bound to happen that some roster spots are going to need to be filled at some point, either through injury, if guys are getting moved. And I think Chase is one of those guys that's got one of those opportunities locked up, no problem. Doesn't mean he's going to be a career Red Wing. Doesn't mean he's going to be around for another 15 years. But right now seems like a good time to throw Chase into this lineup, give him an opportunity to be Chase Pearson. And again, the number one reason you put Chase on the Detroit Red Wings is because you have to give some sort of purpose to the Atlanta Thrashers. And my boy was an Atlanta Thrashers fan. It's right there. That's your purpose. Atlanta Thrashers existed to bring Chase Pearson to, if ultimately Grand Rapids. But yes, bring him to Detroit. Week two of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week three with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, so back to why I started this segment. Preseason schedule. Red Wings start Wednesday, September 29th against the Chicago Blackhawks, 8:30 p.m. in the United Center. A couple of home games in Detroit. Thursday, September 30th against Buffalo. Saturday, October 2nd against Columbus. Sunday, heading over to PPG Paints. Mentioned having like those two teams, you know, Team A and Team B. This is how that sucker breaks up because you've got, I mean, think about how many games here. 29th, 30th, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Then 6th, 7th, and 9th. You 1,000% need a Team A and Team B. All right, but anyways, where was I? October 3rd is in Pittsburgh. Chicago comes to Detroit. Then we're going out to Columbus. Pittsburgh coming home to us, or coming to our home, I should say, and then out to Buffalo. So there's nothing to dissect here, guys. This is just so you guys can take notes and write this down. You're taking a look at the schedule. You can get your mind wrapped around it for how your nights, I don't know, hopefully not wasted, but will be used going from September 29th to October 9th. And then, of course, it'll be October 14th. We hope you guys are going to be there. We're going to be there. We're going to have some t-shirts, Mike and I. October 14th, we will be in Detroit watching the Red Wings and the Tampa Bay Lightning. I am super stoked. I locked up some pretty nice seats. I do, you know, I'm partial to that drink rail. Unfortunately, the SeatGeek prices were just little too rich for my blood. Hopefully I get some of those drink rail seats before the end of the season. Those are, oh, I love them. I don't need to be super close to the action. I think there's something to be said for camera angles in the NHL because that's kind of where I see the sweet spot. You're too close to the ice. You can't see a goddamn thing in some corners, I should say. And drink rail seat, you got a fucking table for your drink. How do I need to? There's no argument there. There's nothing I need to defend. It's the best seat in the house. Best seat in the house. Next to the suites that also have tables. But you know where I'm going. All right. Let's jump into the final segment here. So we did want to jump over to the SHL and talk about Simon Edvinson, Elmer Soderblom, and Theodore Niederbach, which I was so affectionately referring to as Elmer, Simon, and Theodore, and I didn't get a single goddamn like on Twitter because I thought it was super cute. Now, of course, Elmer is subbed in for Elvin, but you know, fuck me. Anyways, Simon Edvinson is Ice Hockey Gifts has here. You guys are seeing some highlights provided by the Gift Masters at Ice Hockey G. You guys are probably already following them, but they are the pros. They are the ones that do all the hard work for us. And for us, I mean Red Wings fans, not for me. 18 minutes, 15 seconds time on ice per games played. This is third on the team for Edvinson. Two assists, 2 points, second on the team. 15 shots, he's first on the team. 7 block shots, third on the team. And he's a +3. We hate plus minus, but he's first on the team. As I always say with plus minus, could always be worse. Could be in Andreas Athanasiou range. So, you know, there's always that. Anywho's, this has been an incredible start for Edvinson. This is something where I'm getting into the range of being too excited. And then of course I said that last year about Moritz, and I think that turned out pretty good. I mean, he ended up being the Elite Prospects Player of the Year. So is it that bad? Absolutely not. I think we got, it's one of those things where I think you guys need to just, if you're not yet, pay more attention to this year's first round pick for the Detroit Red Wings and what's going on. I mean, if you look at this for Ice Hockey Gifts, it only has 103 likes. I mean, I had more likes when I was talking about Nedeljkovic's new helmet. So clearly not enough people have seen seen this Edmondson content, and more people need to. So, the long story short here is things are going well for Edmondson. And, you know, we shared a couple of weeks ago, I got in trouble and I can't remember the name, but it was a very popular Swedish hockey player. Sorry. Actually did go as far to compare Edmondson. Goddamn. He compared him to Nicklas Lidström. And, for Red Wings fans, of course, that was going to get the likes. That got us all really excited. That's something you want to hear. That was, of course, during a preseason game, an exhibition game for Frölunda. But, who cares where it came from? This is something where this doesn't need to be scripture, right? This doesn't need to be biblical text. This doesn't need to be fact. But it's that idea that conversation has started is what's exciting. And I think if you've watched the highlights with Edmondson, you've seen a guy who's skating like there's nobody else on the ice. And it's incredible. And the things that he creates for everybody are really panning out. And I think that's my best way to transition into what we saw on September 18th is the connection between Niederbach, Soderblom, and Edmondson to actually take the lead for Frölunda. All right, so let's take a look at this play. And this is going to primarily feature all Red Wings prospects. We're going to start with Niederbach going in and getting a pass out front. And this is really just bouncing the puck between Soderblom, Niederbach, and Edmondson. And you'll see a shot by Edmondson, and eventually the puck comes back to him, and he's going to bounce the puck over to Soderblom to finish this off. But this is, as you guys are watching this again on YouTube, you can see Niederbach's got the puck now. And when this puck comes back out front here in a second, you're going to see Edmondson pass the rebound from that initial shot, bounce it off basically over to Soderblom, who finishes this off. And it's some great play by Niederbach to make sure he wins the battle, wins the puck, and gets everything started here. But it is just fun too that, is this the greatest play ever? No, but you are seeing where Edmondson is really, I would say, separating himself is with that little extra effort, that little bump to the, to get the puck over to an open man who is Soderblom. I think it's just, that's more helping tell the story of how incredible Edmondson is. And like, take the idea too, that he's coming in here underneath the net, right? And still finding it in his movement back to the top of the ice to slow down. And the awareness that a player would need to have to be getting back into position and slow down for that puck to come back to his stick so that he could finish the play to his teammate and have Soderblom rip one into the net. It's not the most incredible thing I've ever seen, but this is becoming routine for Edmondson. So that's where the idea of it and the idea of it just becoming routine is incredible. And I think, we started the episode off with some somber news. I think this is a great way to the end of the episode and get everybody hyped about Edmondson. Thanks again to Ice Hockey Gifts, who shares all this stuff. And that, of course, was coming from See More Hockey. So that's where they're, I'm going to say, ripping it from. Sorry, guys, if maybe you own See More Hockey. I don't know. Any hoozles. just all around good news just to be excited about, after getting destroyed in the prospect tournament, which I will be fine. You know, to wrap this up, I am realizing, I never brought up like Sebastian Cosa or anything like that. It's those kind of things. I see people get worked up about. I saw people complaining about his play. He's a kid. He wasn't going to be starting for us this year, next year, the year after that, maybe not even the year after that. So calm yourselves. All right. He's got a lot of learning to do. Drafting a goalie that high isn't always necessarily because he's ready to go. It's the tools. There's goalies who will be ready to go probably faster than Cosa. There's going to be a lot of goalies that won't be ready as quick as maybe Cosa will be, but we're not going to know until we know. And this definitely is not the time to complete your judgment on the man. So shutty. All right. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. I hope you had a good time. Of course, jumping around here with a lot of different subjects and missing my brother right now. If you guys know anybody that, wants some, I don't know, maybe some extra dough, maybe you want to pop on the podcast and maybe you want to get yourself recruited as a regular member of Red Wings Rant. Maybe you want to argue with me and you're sick of hearing my shit and you're like, God, I got to get my fucking voice heard. Send us an email at it's admin@bodpodcast.com. Let us know if you're interested in helping out. You can also reach out DMs. This is a good time too to follow us at BOD Hockey and on Instagram. We are brothers_of_discussion. And I'd like to have the conversation because I'm lonely right now and you guys just have to listen to one person and I'm 100% sure it would be way more interesting to hear at least. So, everybody else. Hey, hopefully I'm just cracking. All right, everybody, thanks. Have a good one.